Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
And this is a Fox News alert. I'm Ashley Strohmeyer live in New York. A mutual ceasefire between Israel and Iran is now officially in effect, but it appears the terms might have already been violated this morning. For the very latest, let's turn to Fox News correspondent Mike Tobin, who is live in Beersheba right now. Mike, what can you tell us?
Well, I can tell you that the ceasefire, Ashley, is not doing very well. Just about a little shy of 4 hours into the ceasefire agreement, there were alerts that another missile was heading into the north of Israel. Military bloggers say that was one missile. That hasn't been confirmed by the IDF. But we do have a statement from Israel's defense minister, Yisrael Katz, saying that he has instructed the Israeli Defense Forces, the Israeli Air Force, to respond forcefully to this violation of the ceasefire. And he says they will start hitting targets in the heart of the Iranian regime.
And just to give you a visual for those on YouTube, Phil, let's play K4 here. This is courtesy of the Daily Mail. Here are the videos of the strikes that were going on in the wee hours.
Whoa,
obviously recorded by somebody.
Hopefully they're not cursing.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
As an innocent bystander.
Excuse me. Yeah. It's a big fine, buddy.
So we have that. And then lastly, the BBC with this report where they say Iran says, no, not so fast. This is not true. We didn't violate squat. Roll this.
Iranian side saying that this is a news report coming from Iran saying that the news that they have broken the ceasefire is false. So we shall see. There'll be no doubt more exchanges on this coming forward.
All right, so there you go. So we're left to theorize and hypothesize as to what the hell's going on.
So those missiles we just saw were a mirage.
Or they're saying not from us.
Or not from us. That's correct.
We didn't do it. The Iranians are saying they didn't. They're not theirs.
they're a very trustworthy regime. So I'm sure.
Hey, it could be like some youths, thugs, or something.
Could be the youths. Do we have a description? I think it's one of three things. I think one, either it's legit, Iran can't be trusted, and they broke the ceasefire. Two, maybe not all sides had agreed to the ceasefire, and Trump jumped the gun. Or, and I'm going to get very controversial here.
I like it.
Right at 6:05. Here's my theory. Yep. Possible. Now, this is the least likely, but a mathematical possibility. False flag orchestrated by Israel after they accept terms, after Trump puts out a strong Truth Social post, only to further draw America in more and continue their objective, which I don't necessarily disagree with, and that is ending Iran once and for all.
Well, they were as of like 8 o'clock last night, 9 o'clock last night. Israel had been very silent on the ceasefire. So, you know, all I'm saying is that there's when you get into wars, it's unpredictable. That's what I'm saying.
Or you know what? Throw a fourth theory out. Did Iran rope-a-dope Israel like Trump rope-a-doped Iran? Remember on Saturday, sent a couple of missiles out west towards Guam. Iran put had their eyes to the left. Here comes America from the right. Did Iran just repay the favor to Israel? Yeah, we agree to a ceasefire. Kaboom. Next thing you know, four dead. I don't know.
I think it's more likely that you have some rogue guys, Iranian guys, who just...
Houthis?
Hezbollah? They're just some rogue guys who either, like you said, whoever. Hamas, Houthis, all these different factions.
Yep.
Who were just rogue, but unfortunately now maybe they purposely wanted to mess up the ceasefire.
Could very well be. We simply do not know. All right, we got a lot to get to. The big take will be coming up in a little bit, but let's get to the official start of the news, round number one at 6:07. Here is the great Dawn Stenzel.
And good morning, Kale and Company News Live on this steamy, we could break some records weather-wise today. We are sponsored this June 24th, Tuesday morning, as Greg says. Kitchen Magic is our sponsor, and we'll begin with Philadelphia Police investigating. In this one, they released photos of six suspects who are accused of assaulting Sean Tulin and his friend Robert Whalen in Center City. This happened. Both are Marine Corps veterans. And so they have been talking about this, that these individuals, Marine Corps veterans, assaulted. Tulin and Whalen were walking home from a Ton Tavern Legacy Foundation board, a meeting to prepare for the branch's 250th birthday when they were assaulted at this time. So it was June 12th. And so that was a Thursday, as you may recall. So the veterans said they were on the 1500 block of Chestnut Street around 10:45 at night. The suspects threw water at them. They said that as Marines, they're trained to de-escalate, but the suspects did not stop from there. So they crossed the street. These guys surrounded the two Marines. So one gets up in his face, he says, and he said he tries to de-escalate, tries to talk to him. Hey, we're really nice guys. You know, they're trying to de-escalate the situation. Unfortunately, the crowd that surrounded them, the suspects, started kicking, punching, and leaving them bloodied and bruised. They had gashes, you know, concussion, head wounds, broken nose, broken bones in their faces, stitches, staples, the whole thing. And so these veterans are concerned for the next potential target. They're speaking out about this, saying that these guys need to be held accountable no matter what their age. So these could be underage individuals. But police, you know, we often talk about no suspect descriptions. So Philadelphia police at least releasing some of these, you know, this information and these six suspect photos that they've been releasing, basically saying it's a miracle these guys survived. They're big guys, they're Marines, they're tough guys. But when you have that kind of a crowd surrounding them and just targeting them and attacking them, now there's, you know, there's no word on, it doesn't appear to be some kind of a motive of robbery. So it looks like they were just targeting them to beat them up.
So we have a young mob that surrounds two of our vets and beats them down.
Yeah.
Send in the Marines.
So we have that going on.
Ridiculous.
We're also learning more this morning. We have some new details. Remember the guy, this is out in Westchester, that huge No Kings rally with tens of thousands of people. And the saying, if you see something, say something. Somebody saw a guy that they thought had a gun and a lot of ammo, called police, and police then confronted the guy. And so now they're revealing more information about 31-year-old Kevin Krebs. So he was arrested at that No Kings rally, Westchester, and had more than a dozen explosive devices and other weapons at his home. Remember we talked about this? They found the handgun on him, a lot of ammo. That led police to his vehicle where they found the rifle, more, you know, a mask, at least one mask, gloves. That led them to then get a search warrant of his home in Malvern. And he had that tack vest and layers of clothing on. So at this point, we're learning more about this, that as officials investigated, they talked to the parents and family who he lived with. He lives with his parents, his brother. Remember, Greg played the brother on the cut sheet.
So this guy's 31, still living at home?
He's on the autism spectrum.
Okay. Oh, understand.
And so that has led to...
Who isn't these days?
So that has led to others saying, apparently he legitimately is, and police have investigated that, leading to a deeper debate, maybe a tougher conversation about people on the spectrum who now...
Own firearms?
Yes. Now, I don't know, did he own this? He did not. There are conflicting reports as far as, because in Pennsylvania, our Constitution and the Commonwealth... It's actually just says you have a right to bear arms, if you've ever read that. So there's a debate now within the gun community saying, well, you don't have to have this or that license, this and that. But this individual definitely was, according to the authorities, all the doctors and all of that, on the, you know, has autism.
The problem is that the autism spectrum, as they say, has been broadened so much by the medical community. Like, you know, more people now have quote unquote autism.
So it's the new mental health?
Yes.
Yeah. Everybody's got mental health.
What really should happen is the parents should step in and be like, hey, little Johnny, maybe if you're going to live in this house, you're not going to have guns or whatever. You know, it's the, it should be the parent's responsibility if he's really that, you know, if he really needs that much care to make sure he doesn't get firearms.
So parentally treat him like a minor since he might not be where he needs to be mentally.
And it's not the government's job or the state's job to monitor every Tom, Dick, and Harry with what ailment they have to, you know, in order to own a firearm. It's not.
Remember the brother, his brother, who was the younger brother, answered the door.
Yep.
And he said, oh, this is a big misunderstanding. Now the brother makes sense.
Yeah, didn't he say the word triggering or triggered?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But the story is that Krebs, he's 31 years old. So initially they let him out on bail. Then when they searched the home and they reevaluated this, he's now behind bars in prison, awaiting a preliminary hearing, which is July 3rd next week, and charged with not only unlawful possession of weapons of mass destruction, but possessing an instrument of crime, a whole slew of other related charges. So his bail and everything has been denied, and they're holding him. The story from Krebs, his family, the defense attorney, and so on, is that he was, quote, fascinated with explosives.
Mm. Okay, he was basically a pyromaniac.
He actually had more weapons of mass destruction than Iran did.
Oh, don't. Yeah.
Ouch.
That's a good one. I'm going to save that for next week myself.
So in this one, they continue to investigate, but I think it has certainly opened up a broader debate. I think that's a mild statement
here.
So as we're looking at that, and it was, as we talked about yesterday, it was the opening statements and jury selection as the trial is underway for the then teenager accused of gunning down and slaughtering Temple University Police Sergeant Christopher Fitzgerald in North Philadelphia more than 2 years ago. So those opening statements taking place yesterday. Pfeffer's now 20. He was a teen at the time. Obviously, you're going back more than 2 years. And remember Pfeffer from Bucks County, Pennsylvania. So he was face-to-face in the courtroom with some family members of Sergeant Fitzgerald and the jury inside the Center City courtroom as this trial gets underway. During opening statements yesterday, Pfeffer's defense arguing that their client reacted, quote, out of fear during the incident.
Oh, I fear for my life. The police scare me.
Ugh.
Why don't you know what we should do for Mr. Pfeffer once he's convicted, which he will be? We'll just send him to Iran and let Iran deal with him, how they deal with people over there. Mm. Anybody opposed to these scumbags that kill law enforcement receiving capital punishment the way they do in the Middle East? I'm not.
By the way, Families Behind the Badge will be in tomorrow at 9:30. So.
Beautiful.
Marissa Fitzgerald, obviously not available this week because she will be.
Understood.
I didn't even think of that when I texted Mark O'Connor. I was like, can she come in? Because I really want to talk to her about this.
Yeah.
And he's like, she's a little tied up this week. Yeah. And I said, I understand.
I'm actually glad that she will not come in. That's a tough interview to do when you go down that subject.
It is.
You know?
Well, that's just the whole point. You know, even the prosecutors in court, and he's charged with first-degree murder and a slew of other charges, prosecutors arguing that this is a cold-blooded killing, stood over the body of Sergeant Pfeffer after he was already wounded, fired into him at close range, you know, nearly a dozen times. But in this one, this is why the victim in this case, Sergeant Fitzgerald, you know, his family begged D.A. Krasner to keep the death penalty on the table, because oftentimes when a defendant knows that there's a preponderance of evidence, they will spare the family, you know, that this pain that the widow now and the parents have to go through, to sit through this excruciating, they have to relive this murder.
Well, and also, too, it saves all the taxpayer dollars not having to go through the trial. Put the death penalty on the table. They plea. They say, we'll plead guilty to, you know, life in prison or whatever. Spare my life. And we don't have to go through that, like you said.
Yeah. So in this one, this trial could wrap up and we could see the deliberations as early as this Thursday because of all the preponderance of evidence, like we've said. So we're covering this carefully, obviously, and we've gotten to know Marissa Fitzgerald, another grieving widow, not to mention Sergeant Fitzgerald's four children, you know, that she's now a single mom. And that's why Nick and Greg and the whole team, Mark O'Connor, the families behind the badge have been working so hard, even in the heat. But for this huge, this is the marquee fundraiser.
Yes.
That's this July 20th.
That's why
to support. these families.
When we make this plea to go to gregstockersucks.com, all the money goes to Families Behind the Badge Children's Foundation for cases like this, to help the Fitzgerald family, to help them with this never-ending nonsense that they have to go through with this justice system that screws you once, then screws you again. Oh, God. I'm happy to. I will, you know, I'm happy to ride.
And
we might have as many as I can do.
An interesting development here. I was texting with Stephanie Mack, another unfortunate widow for Families Behind the Badge. She has not gotten on a bike all year.
I told you that last week.
She's very fit. Stephanie Mack is very fit.
You told me? Okay, well, I was texting with her yesterday. She says, yeah, Stocker might beat me. I haven't done squat. Maybe, just maybe, the two guys on the show are gonna outdo the broads this time around.
GregStockerSucks.com. Please, please, I'm begging you, go there and donate. We need big donations.
Yeah, we need 10 grand.
Yeah, help us. Somebody. There's some titan of industry right now listening at 6:18 in the morning, you know, going to work while the rest of the schlubs are still sleeping.
Yeah, give us your debit card and nobody gets hurt.
GregStockerSucks.com, please.
So city officials in Philadelphia and many across the region, many municipalities are declaring a heat health emergency.
Oh, for God's sake.
In Philadelphia, it continues until Wednesday, tomorrow, until 8 p.m.
The lead story. It's hot.
Yeah. It's hot.
Oh, yeah. God.
Keep eating Tony Luke's fatsoes.
Oh, my Lord.
Now you're going to pay.
So I don't know if you saw the igloo in South Philadelphia. Employees busy scooping ice cream for a line where people were standing out in the heat, a long line, and this was outside the intersection of 23rd and South Streets. Friends and family, they tried to get some shade there, but there's this giant igloo, and everybody was enjoying some nice little treats, so kind of a cool sight.
Nice.
Yeah. I had a little Rita's myself last night.
Oh, yeah, nice. Look at you.
I did the...
patronizing sponsors.
Yeah. Kutchy coming up 7:45, by the way. Yeah. I did the my original go-to, strawberry ice with chocolate custard, the strawberry chocolate gelati.
Yum.
Yeah.
You got to go cherry and chocolate.
They didn't have that.
Oh, okay.
I was so mad. They had like strawberry banana, and I was like, nah.
It's all good. And the custard, by the way,
is the best.
It's the best.
The best.
And it's higher in protein.
Much lower
in carbs.
Does it meet the Maha standard?
Dawn getting health advice from Twitter. She texted everybody or tweeted yesterday. She's going to try this new fad that she saw on X.
No, it's a fad. It's the 72-hour fast. That's not new.
Don't get science and health advice from Twitter.
Fasting is like biblical. It's like ancient. Thousands of years.
If anybody on this show wants to fast, either we all do it for a show experiment or save that for when you're on your personal vacation.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we are sponsored by Kitchen Magic. Kitchen Magic kitchens are proudly American-made, family-owned, and tariff-proof. So your dream kitchen will not get hit with any hidden costs or any hidden anything. 24 months, same as cash, financing ends this June. What are you waiting for? KitchenMagic.com. Thank you, Kitchen Magic. Nick, it's going to be a hot one, maybe for the record books.
That's right, Dawn. Hold on to your butts. It's 85 degrees already. It's going up to 150 today. No, I kid. It's going up to 100 exactly. So stay hydrated. Put that SPF 50 on. Weather's brought to you by MTRule.com. Your Generac generator experts. That's right, Montgomery County. If you're still struggling without power,
oh my God.
A generator would have worked. MTRule.com.
There are still 2,000 houses without power. Can you imagine?
Well, I'm giving you the solution right here.
By the way, even if your power isn't out, the amount of people today with their air conditionings on, it's going to overload the, you know, don't get without that. Have that generator.
Can't wait to get my Pico bill. I'm going to have a coronary.
Because God forbid it's 105 out and your power goes out.
Yep.
You have that generator that'll kick it right back on.
There you go. MTRUHL.com. The BIGTAKE is coming up next. It's Kale and Company. Stay right there.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
There.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Very fitting to come back to the Gap Band.
It's not right.
Don't blame Stocker. Don't shoot the board op. You could place your blame on Peter McKeon.
Did you just call me a board op?
Well, technically, in that role, you are on the board.
Ouch.
Oh, man.
Board op, producer, executive producer, third mic, brand manager. I know you've got six titles.
Board op.
But in that role specifically, you're running the board right now.
Hey, he is cut sheet king.
He is the cut sheet king. Peter McKeon.
Yeah.
Highlight Electric.
Woo.
Playlist all week long. You can get control of it for 20 hours of programming if you have deep pockets. Stocker doesn't give it away out of the kindness of his heart. You got to donate to a charity, and Peter McKeon, God knows, has given us a lot of cash over the years for good causes.
Absolutely. You should patronize Highlight Electric, because that dude is just
generous.
He's so generous.
That's right.
He's so generous with his time and his money, and he's a good guy.
Indeed. He's a mighty good man.
Yeah.
We will round back to the big breaking news of the morning as Iran has reportedly broken the ceasefire deal that was reportedly agreed upon by all parties, and we'll do that in a couple of minutes. But right now, let's get to a Tuesday Big Take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company,
which is brought to you by Wawa. The Big Take, the woke right. You know, ever since this war between Israel and Iran went into overdrive with the involvement of the United States, there's been this phrase running rampant on social media. It's called the woke right. And I've seen this term thrown around a lot on X over the last two or three weeks. Even asked our buddy Sean Farish on Friday's show about it. And it's this small club consisting of MAGA influencers who have labeled people such as Tucker Carlson, Candace Jones, and Alex Jones as the woke right. I can't stand that name, to be honest. But this should not be happening on the right. People that fall right of center value free speech. Classic liberals value free speech. And valuing free speech means the acceptance of the opinions that we vehemently disagree with, that we allow, because then we delve into discussion and discourse and debate. A change of opinion is often a pretty good thing. It means that you're able to grow. You can expand your mind after reflection and have a willingness and an ability to adapt. It's called evolving. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody does that. Some people just shift the goalposts and expose themselves as frauds and hypocrites. And you can change your position radically and quickly if new information becomes available. If you don't and you double down or triple down, you're just stupid. But people like Tucker Carlson, Candace Owens, and Alex Jones are being roasted for doing a 180 on multiple issues in a short period of time. Now, I don't really care for Candace Owens or Alex Jones. And Tucker Carlson, it's a coin flip with me. Sometimes I think he's spot on. Other times I think he's a bit kooky, as Trump has said. But you can easily call them disingenuous or seeking relevance and capitalizing on an opportunity in the clickbait world that we live in. But nobody on the right should be canceled because they view Israel versus Iran and America's involvement in a different light than you do. That's what the left does. You don't do that here on the right. And I can't believe that we've reached the point where John Fetterman and Joe Scarborough are supporting Donald Trump's strikes against Iran, yet Marjorie Taylor Greene, Tucker Carlson, and others are not. But alas, here we are. And life comes at you fast. Here was MSNBC's Joe Scarborough, of all people, talking about Donald Trump's unenviable position with the Middle East on Morning Joe yesterday. Listen and watch.
I'm not championing either side of this. Although I ask you, David, how difficult would it have been for any president to not take that shot if they knew that Iran was even being attacked by the United Nations. I find it hard to believe that Bush 41, Bush 43, Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, go down the list. Any presidents wouldn't have felt compelled to take that strike.
Never thought I would hear that from him. And just a reminder, Joe, Hillary was never president. She's just been around forever. But then a little bit later on Fox News, you have Pennsylvania Senator John Fetterman, who said this with Dana Perino. Listen and watch this.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says the president shouldn't be impeached because he's impulsive. What do you think of that?
No, I mean, of course, no. She knows it. I know it. We all know it. That's not going anywhere. And, you know, he's been impeached twice, and now he's still our president as well now, too. So it's not going anywhere, and I don't think that's helpful. And I think if you throw that term around, that actually diminishes what the severity of what impeachment is really reserved for.
Fetterman, say what you want about him, is not part of the woke left or woke right ideology where you have to subscribe to 100% of what your party's agenda is. So kudos to him on that front, a free thinker, even after a brain injury. Fetterman's take, not nearly as shocking as Morning Joe's, but I use those two clips to pivot to the right. We'll get to Tucker and Candace in a moment, but here is Georgia's Marjorie Taylor Greene. In the most scathing takedown of Donald Trump that you may ever hear from an ardent MAGA agenda supporter. Listen and watch MTG.
I tell you what, six months in, Steve, and here we are turning back on the campaign promises, and we bombed Iran on behalf of Israel. Yes, it was on behalf of Israel. We're entering a nuclear war, the World War III, because the entire world is going to erupt. And you want to know the people that are cheering it on right now? Their tune is going to drastically change the minute we start seeing flag-draped coffins on the nightly news, on Fox News that brainwashes all the baby boomers, and on CNN that brainwashes all the Democrat baby boomers. And that is exactly how this is going to go down. And, you know, the AI portion, I want to address that, Steve. That's a bunch of crap. They should have never put that poison pill in the House version of the One Big Beautiful Bill in the first place. I am a 100% no vote if it is still there, because I get to vote again. I get to vote on it again when it comes back to the House. And I am not voting for a 10-year moratorium on state rights to make regulations and laws on AI. That is absurd. And the One Big Beautiful Bill is about taxes, energy, and border security. And that's exactly what it should be. So shame on the people that put it out there. That should be separate legislation. And I'm not playing ball anymore. This weekend, I turned a corner. I'm not playing ball anymore. I'm going to vote exactly for what I campaigned on, exactly for what I promised my district. And I will use my voting card to make that happen.
That was Marjorie Taylor Greene on Steve Bannon's War Room podcast. Good for her. I can respect that. And I disagree with what she said. I think Trump has earned the right to do what he did. I do not believe World War III will happen. Pre-strikes and ceasefire breaking a few hours ago or post. But I'm not going to cancel her or claim she's less MAGA all of a sudden because she broke from 47 on this particular policy decision. But here's why MTG is wrong. Iran is full of crap and nothing more than a gimmick. News coming down Monday that Iran retaliated in what was nothing more than a strike for show. According to the New York Times, this was yesterday, before the latest update this morning. Iran, quote, coordinated the attacks on the American airbase in Qatar with Qatari officials and gave advance notice that attacks were coming to minimize casualties, according to three Iranian officials familiar with the plans. The officials said Iran symbolically needed to strike back at the U.S., but at the same time carry it out in a way that allowed all sides an exit ramp. They described it as a military strategy similar to 2020 when Iran gave Iraq a heads up before firing ballistic missiles at an American airbase in Iraq following the assassination of its top general, end quote. Translation, that's nothing more than military theater. You might as well cast Louis Gossett Jr. for a remake of Iron Eagle 3. But if these reports are true, as CNN's Scott Jennings said, and of course, this is again prior to the ceasefire being broken early this morning, Scott Jennings said this on X yesterday, quote, a complete and total capitulation and vindication for President Trump's strategy here. Which now leads me to those on the alleged woke right. I want to start with Candace Owens. And she made this, let's call it a questionable comment. Listen and watch.
LG19 writes, serious question, will there be jobs or community military members can join when I get a dishonorable discharge for not contributing to delete people or my body for the interests of a certain foreign nation benefit? I love this question. I do believe that if war in Iran is on the agenda and that appears so, get dishonorably discharged. Who cares?
I'm no expert on the military and being discharged honorably or dishonorably, but it seems like a statement like that is quite an overreaction to a few strategic strikes on a country's nuclear capabilities. Then, apparently, Candace Owens said this, according to a report from Mediaite. She raised eyebrows on Sunday night by suggesting that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is worse than Adolf Hitler, or at least what she learned about Hitler in high school. Owens also addressed the fierce backlash with a defiant second post, making clear she stands by the shock comparison. Owens made the comment in reply to homeschooling guru Brett Pike, who posted on X, "Benjamin Netanyahu is everything the media wanted you to believe Vladimir Putin is," end quote. She wrote back to Pike, quote, "feels a bit more like everything high school wanted me to believe Adolf Hitler was," end quote. Owens' comments regarding World War II history, Israel, and the Holocaust have stirred controversy for many months now, leading to many critics accusing her of anti-Semitism. Putting Netanyahu in the same textbook with Hitler is outrageous, incorrect, and embarrassing. That being said, it's her right to say that. This is what speech is all about. You don't squash, silence, censor, and cancel bad speech. You counter it with better, more thoughtful speech. And then this gets me to Tucker Carlson. In 2012, The Atlantic wrote a piece about Tucker Carlson wanting Iran to be annihilated. It was written by Jeffrey Goldberg. Name ring a bell? Now, he doesn't want America backing Israel in the strikes against Iran, to which has led to claims that he's bought and paid for by Qatar. Listen and watch Tucker.
Capalian. I am not Shiite as a tool of Qatar, who's like one of our closest allies in the world. The largest American air base in the Middle East is in Qatar. They're a close ally of ours. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, you're taking Qatari money. I've never taken a dollar. I've never taken a dollar from any.
The Washington Examiner, writing last month the following, "Conservative media targeted by Qatari foreign influence operations." In the column, it shows that Tucker Carlson was, quote, "allegedly acting as a tool for Qatar." This is precisely why I don't follow any of these voices like it's gospel. Not Candace Owens, not Tucker Carlson, not Charlie Kirk, not anybody on Fox News, not anybody on Newsmax. I also don't want them canceled for differing with views that I have. You know who looks like he's been vindicated the most right now? Donald Trump. Oil prices yesterday down 7.5% on Monday afternoon. And you know who is usually right? The odds makers. The odds of America retaliating against Iran and starting, quote, World War III yesterday dipped from 62% to 17%. Maybe that's gone up a little bit with the developments of the morning, but the odds makers are usually right. We'll see how the following days and the summer plays out. But right now, two things need to happen. I do believe Trump gets the benefit of the doubt, and the allowance of speech that we don't agree with on the right, that has to stop. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Which is brought to you by Wawa. Hoagie Fest is here, and it's the summer of sandwiches. Great time of the year for a sandwich. For a limited time, Wawa is mixing it up with hoagies, clubs, quesadillas, and more, all of which are under $6. Savor a summer of sandwiches and savings because you got to have a Wawa. 855-839-1210, the number if you want to jump in on X at 1210-WPHT. And, of course, the YouTube chat, where dissenting viewpoints live. And we like that, even if we disagree. YouTube.com/at1210WPHT. Hit the like and subscribe buttons. We'll come back, get everybody's thoughts, and again, round back to the update of the morning where Iran has reportedly broken the ceasefire. It's Kale and Company, and we're back after this, as after our words from Bucks County Estate Traders, because the truth is, they don't make furniture like they used to. New house, yours truly, August 15th, not a single piece of old furniture, all courtesy of Bucks County Estate Traders, because they are your summer home upgrade destination. June 30th through July 7th. You're going to want to take advantage of it. It's their 4th of July sale, where you will get 20 to 50% off select items store-wide. Whether you want classic, modern, rustic, traditional, you're going to find over 16,000 pieces of high-end furniture, from vintage treasures to designer showstoppers. We're talking about brands like Stickley, Baker, Henredon, the kind of quality that will last generation after generation at only a fraction of retail prices. And unlike the big box stores, if you see something you love, you take it home the same day. Every piece with a QR code for instant info, and their team, they're straight shooters. No pushy sales tactics. It's a great environment to do your shopping. Shop the sale at BucksCountyEstateTraders.com and use the code USA25. That's USA25. Or visit their Hatfield showroom, now open extended hours and Sunday.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Kale and Company, 6:46, 1 hour away from a Tuesday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet. Fight Club coming up at 9:10 today. It's interesting the way politics can kind of go cyclical and evolve or devolve over the course of 3 years. Thinking back to this show when we started in 2022, Dawn would always say, get it together, GOP, get it together, GOP. And then Trump pulls off the ultimate comeback. Democrats are a total disaster. They've got no candidates. They've got no policy. Their messaging is terrible. They're losing out to Gen Z voters on social media in the digital media era that we live in. And everything seems like, okay, MAGA's more united than ever. The Republican Party's got it figured out. Democrats are in disarray. And then the next thing you know, Israel, Iran, the United States is involved, and now you have a deep MAGA divide. So deep, and not necessarily from a mathematical percentage standpoint, about three quarters of Republicans agree with Trump on the strikes against Iran if, in fact, they have nuclear weapons or nuclear capabilities. But a lot of the prominent figures, and even the lesser voices out there, and even people that are just consuming a show, are divided on this issue as to the peace and World War III and the big picture stuff. So much so that even Tucker Carlson said, quote, Laura Loomer, the world's creepiest human. I don't even know where she came from or who she is exactly, but she's running around saying, I'm Donald Trump's defender. It's bizarre. Do you need a job? We're hiring. So you have all of this. And Dawn, I never thought we would be in a world of such tribalism where 100% adherence and compliance is necessary, that we get to the point now where sometimes common sense has created this apparent rift. We've got John Fetterman and Joe Scarborough defending Trump on striking Iran. And I've got Marjorie Taylor Greene saying, quote, in 6 months, Trump has broken a campaign promise. What do you make of this?
Well, I think for Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's just wrong.
Well, she doesn't read bills that she signs either. That's another issue.
I mean, I think I've always liked her, you know, her chutzpah, if you will. I like her energy. She's fiery. But the truth is, she proves time and time again that she is not a deep thinker or a thoughtful person. Because if you evaluate this, and we all live and breathe it, and she doesn't, and she should study it. And if she studied it, she would understand that what happened over the weekend, in my humble opinion, is a reaction to failed policies over many years. And this was this window, this rare window of opportunity by which you have, you know, somebody on the verge of becoming, you know, in possession of a nuclear weapon. And I don't think that's even in question right now. And they took that ability out for them to be able to make nuclear weaponry. And I think that this was, they were weakened by Israel. The U.S. went in. It was laser surgery. It was precision. They went in. They went out. They got it done. And I think that that's highly significant. And I think that for many decades to come, when you think about history, and we talked yesterday about this, you know, somebody said, how did Pakistan, how did North Korea, how did they become, you know, how in the world did they become nuclear powers?
Mm-hmm.
Someday, somewhere, somebody 50 years from now will say, this is why Iran did not become this. Now, will they begin to rebuild, and in 20 years will they have to revisit it? Perhaps. But now, as far as Iran goes, you know, and I know that their exiled, you know, crown prince, and there are many who would like to lead and basically are campaigning to be able to have that opportunity if, in fact, their, you know, supreme leader steps down or runs to Russia or whatever. But I think that Marjorie Taylor Greene, you know, she's probably up for reelection. She feels, you know, maybe she feels she wasn't on the in crowd or she wasn't informed. I'm not sure what's going on with her, but she, like you said, she's entitled to her opinion, but I just disagree with her.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's all I'm saying. Look, you can have differing views. I totally adhere to that. You don't have to agree with 10 out of 10 in your respective political parties, platform, or playbook, which brings us back to the big news of the morning. So if you've been tracking everything in the Middle East and Trump and America's involvement, Donald Trump posted on Truth Social yesterday that a ceasefire has been reached between all parties. And then, of course, in the middle of the night for us here in Eastern time, reports come out that Iran has broken the ceasefire. We played you the video of some of the strikes earlier this morning. Fox News, Mike Tobin reporting from the Middle East in Israel about the ceasefire being violated. BBC News, as well as other outlets, are quoting the Iranian government saying, no, we did not violate it, which is interesting because yesterday a lot of people on social media were taking victory laps. Ceasefire, no World War III, the experts were wrong again. And maybe the experts will be wrong. I don't think we will have World War III. But what I thought was interesting was the quotes I gave you from the New York Times and the Big Take about how Iran had to do this kind of ceremonial firing back, and everything that we've been told. Again, I'm getting the news just like the rest of us, just like the rest of you are, from social media, from reporters, from news, on television, you name it, those there with boots on the ground, those there with sources. I take everything with a grain of salt, but we were told that Iran was devastated and had basically nothing left. And here's Israel and their high-powered, high-invested defense system, their Golden Dome. Well, how do we end up with missile strikes on Israel last night, again, our time, where now I think the number is 4 casualties and more destruction, and Israel has said they are going to rock Tehran's world in retaliation. So if, in fact, you're Trump and you believe you had a deal and one of the parties has violated the alleged agreement, what do you do now? Because once again, now the ball is kind of back in Trump's court.
It's not like we've never been here before. How many ceasefires has there been between Russia and Ukraine that haven't been, you know, we have a ceasefire. Now we don't have a ceasefire. Now we have a ceasefire. That's what's going to happen here. I could have called that last night. Like, yeah, this Iran is not going to adhere to a ceasefire. They may say they will. They may deny it. Well, but they're not going
to
do it.
Well, then what do you do? What do you do if you're Trump, where you're trying to establish peace and one of the parties refuses to listen?
Okay, so going back to what Dawn said, I disagree. Marjorie Taylor Greene, I believe, is 100% right. Can you imagine me saying that?
Wow.
So here we are, these strange bedfellows of things, where I believe that, like, this is what happens. This is – nobody ever gets into war and says – I want to get into a never-ending war. It just happens. It just happens. It's back and forth. It's back and forth. There's a ceasefire. There's not a ceasefire. This is going to go on forever.
So you're look at it this way. Here's the way I try to view this.
Yeah.
Trump is the judge in court.
Yep.
And Israel is the plaintiff or the prosecution. Iran is the defense. And one side is not adhering to the judge's order. Trump says this is the way it has to be, or else there will be consequences. What does Trump do now? If you're Trump, or with the help of Israel, or Israel with the help of the United States, it's kind of like a 2-on-1 handicap match, which I'm all for, because Iran, to me, is the most sinister of all parties involved. You either retaliate against Iran and, quote, end them, or throw out whatever cool phrase will catch a headline in the news, or if you're Trump in America, then you just wash your hands with the whole situation, which is not going to happen, because America has been invested and has taken a side with Israel for the better portion of now 7 decades. So I guess we get pulled in.
Well,
which, no, which is why
not,
I threw
not
out
necessarily.
That
theory. Okay. Not necessarily. I mean, everybody always calls us Israel's, but wait, us Israel's puppet or whatever that phrase is, when it's actually the other way around. Israel, we arm them to do our dirty work, quote unquote, for us.
Do you think Israel, you know, is our B word?
They are coming to, well, I'm not putting it in those terms because that's crude, right. And you know me, Nick, I'm never crude.
Puppet, B word.
I'm always, you know, top of board things. But no, I think that we're just, it's going to, we're just going to allow Israel to, you know, defend themselves from rockets or missiles or whatever the hell they're, you know, is being launched at them.
So looking at just doing a circle back, Jen Psaki.
Circle back.
Remember the circle back?
Yeah, circle back sock.
So she wrote on her X account last night, and this is 4:14 p.m. The press and some other nasty people would love to write lying headlines and create dirty rumors that there's a break between me and President Trump. And then she went on CNN, I guess, and explained. Then last night, when President Trump put out major breaking news with Caroline Levitt, congratulations to everyone. It has been fully agreed by between Israel and Iran that there will be a complete and total ceasefire. And then he put out the terms of it. She put out, thank you, President Trump, for pursuing peace. And so she was busy on X as she's just saying that she campaigned on peace. He campaigned on peace. And she's glad that this is not anything other than, you know, the ceasefire and pushing for peace.
Wait, who said this? Jen Psaki?
No, I'm sorry. I was doing a circle back. I was just...
Oh, okay.
No. This is Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Okay.
On X.
Okay, so she kind of walks back the, you broke a campaign promise to thank you for following through and delivering on your promise of peace.
She says that she went on CNN.
Oh, she did. Marjorie Taylor Greene. Okay.
I'm talking about Marjorie. I'm just doing a circle back to Marjorie Taylor Greene and trying to follow all of what she's... So over the weekend, she was critical.
Yep.
You played that.
Yep.
Now, last night, she was busy saying that she remains, quote, President Trump's most outspoken ally.
Okay.
And she has shunned claims of any divide between Trump and herself.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm open to all opinions. 855-839-1210. We'll take your calls when we come back. Dawn's got some news to kick off hour number two. Also, lost in all the hysteria of war in the Middle East, a major victory for Trump with SCOTUS yesterday on the illegal immigration and deportation front. We'll give you that story when we come back. It's Kale and Company on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.